Hey, everybody. Thank you for joining us on another episode of Keeping It Frank. I'm here with Mike. Mike, how you doing?
I'm doing well, Frankie. You know, football season has started, it's been a fun few weeks.
Absolutely, absolutely. I can't complain. I did terrible in fantasy, but hey, it is what it is. But we're not here to talk sports today. We actually have a really cool guest with us on. We had to reschedule on her, so I felt so bad, and I'm so glad that she didn't X us out and she was happy to come on the show, and I think it's one that a lot of people are really going to enjoy. So, Chinzia, you want to say hi to everybody?
Hi, everyone.
Well, I'm Chinzia.
Chinzia the Eclipse. Yeah, thanks. Thanks for having me. I'm excited.
Oh, absolutely. And we were super excited, too. I mean, we obviously make a list of all the people that we want to talk to that we think have cool stories. And Mike and I actually remember you. We kind of said it before we actually went live that we met you actually the first time at a coffee house, which was like organized for like teens and young adults to perform. And everybody was blown away. And when your name came up again, I was really excited because I remember leaving that coffee house saying like those kids were good, but that girl Chinzia was incredible. So
she definitely has something.
Oh wow, I didn't know that. That's nice to hear.
Yeah, I didn't want to say it at the beginning of the show because natural reaction is the way to go.
So, does it show that I still don't do good with compliments? I'm like, okay, thanks.
Yeah, you're good. There's no video here, so for those that can't see it, she's blushing away. And
I'm not.
So I guess the easiest way to kind of start this off, Chinzia, without it being like all the other stuff that's out there, because you've done so much, is that you have some exciting stuff coming up. So maybe we can actually start talking about the exciting stuff coming up for you. And then we'll kind of go backwards from there. How does that sound?
Yeah, sure. I'm up for it. I'm like crazy excited, first of all, because this is maybe like my third podcast. And I find podcasts are always fun because they're a little more freeing than a lot of things. And I tend to swear. Sorry, Mom. So I usually have to like hold myself back, but I feel like I'm like, oh, whatever. I'll say whatever comes to my head here.
Good. You're good. Go ahead. I mean, we've had people swear and we love it. We love it.
We love it. Sorry, Mom. But yeah, no, I'm super excited. We're releasing a new song on September 25th. So maybe like 5 days away from now. And it's called Runaway. And it's completely different from anything that I've done in the past. It's less based on like heartbreak and sorrow and more just based on like doing whatever the fuck you want and being free from judgment and just doing it because it makes you happy. And I'm excited to put out like a be free, be yourself, be who you are kind of anthem for people. And I think what's even a little more wild about this release is that it's going to be the first song off of my very first debut EP. Ooh. I guess you could have
won. Yeah.
So yeah, I'm pumped to put out a whole album, and I think you guys are going to be the first one to cover it, actually.
Ooh, wow, this feels so special.
Yeah, there we go. Now you put the pressure on us. Usually it's the other way around, Chinzia.
No.
That pressure's on us. I'm just super curious because I myself am not musically inclined in the slightest. I have many gifts, but that's not one of them. But you said a lot of your songs, and I guess as an artist, a lot of the music you're creating is coming from experiences or ways that you feel or things that you've deciphered about the world. And you mentioned like a lot of them being about sorrow. And now here's this like happy-go-lucky song where, you know, be free, fuck it. Is there a change in your personality? Is there experiences that change that? Or is that just kind of where you're trying to take your music now?
I think it's just a matter of personal growth that I've been going through. And the thing is, everyone who listens to my music or doesn't, maybe, I don't know, they know that I write super personally. So everything that I've written about has been really close to my heart. And I think I just, you know, I spent a lot of time wallowing in this heartbreak that I, to be honest, I caused myself and just like soaked in it for so long. And now it just felt like a good time to be like, okay, I need to like, you know, give myself that anthem too and realize that like, you know, this isn't the only thing that I am. I'm not just a sad songwriter, you know, I'm also like an exciting one. And
yes.
Yeah, and I mean, it's not to say I'm never going to write another sad song. Of course I will. I mean, our emotions change all the time. But this one, it just felt right now with everything going on in my life. And I've been really blessed and grateful for certain opportunities. And it just felt like it was time to embrace that in the song.
That's a really good answer, Mike. that was you kind of like summed that up super well. So if I can ask Cinzia, I mean, on your end, I think the first major single, and I say I think because I don't want to get it wrong, was No Matter.
yeah, that was
okay.
The first,
yes, nailed it.
Yeah, that was actually the second song that we put out. The first one was Out of Love, which is a great song, but I don't know, No Matter hit people in a way that I'd never imagined it would. So
yeah, so like, what's that like? Because obviously you have to be vulnerable to a large scale to put stuff out, because I mean, mm-hmm. you've been probably making music for a long time, but putting stuff out leaves you vulnerable and open, because naturally people, or at least I feel people, we think people will judge us, and they'll kind of, you know, we don't know how people are going to react to things. So did you expect your song to get the success that it did when you released it?
God, no. If you can ask anyone who was in like Cinzia and the Eclipse at that time, or even Luca, my like go-to producer and my like day one, that song I wanted to put out because we didn't put out anything in so long, and Out of Love, the numbers were kind of dipping, and I was like, okay, you know what, we need to put something out just to like make people see that we're not doing something, you know. So No Matter, Luca and I had recorded it in like a couple of hours in between recording two different songs, and it was just like, I kid you not, I had no idea that people would be like crying over it and sending me messages and just putting their stories to it and ripping their own heart out to my song and covering it. And there's like Spanish covers of it, which is insane.
That's crazy.
Yeah, I don't understand. There's like, okay, so I was, sorry, I digress. I talk a lot, but
go for it.
I was in a bar before COVID happened and stuff. And I was just like working on, just admin stuff, you know? And I don't know why, but I happened to search No Matter on YouTube. And there was like a Spanish version that came up with like Spanish lyrics, like a lyric video. And I was like, oh my God, it's just so weird. Because like I said, we recorded that in 2 hours. It was really just, it was supposed to be a filler song just until we put out more music and record a little bit more and make something a little more produced. Because No Matter is really just guitar and vocals with like a little bit of tightening, and that's it. So I had no idea, and it freaks me the hell out. I don't understand.
and so you said like you did it in 2 days. Normally
2 hours.
Songs don't, you know, happen that quickly. Can you take us through that process? So do you do the lyrics first? Do you do the melodies first? Like how does a song come to be? Because it doesn't, I think people see the finished product and they're like, you know, okay, this is 3 minutes and 45 seconds. It took 3 minutes and 45 seconds to do this.
No way.
But they
I'm so happy you brought this
they
up.
They don't know what goes into making stuff.
Yeah. I'm so happy you brought this up. I was talking about this with a couple of friends who are also artists, and it's just, we almost sound pompous when we try to explain how much work goes into it, because we're like, do you not realize? But it's so much work and so much time and so much money that goes into this like 2 or 3 minutes that this question makes me really excited. So No Matter, actually, I wrote it in one sitting on my living room floor with like wine stains on my shirt because I was a crying, blubbering idiot. And my sister's going to get mad that I called myself an idiot. She's going to be like, no negative self-talk. But anyway.
And she's right, by the
way. I know.
I always correct my students when they say that. I say, no, you're not an idiot. You just made a mistake. Or
yeah. That's the way to go, though. Wow, you and my sister would get along. She's also a teacher. But yeah, no, it is important to, you know, no negative self-talk. But I was really sad that night. And I had my guitar and a bottle of wine. And I wrote a very sad song in like, I don't know. I think it must have taken me longer than I thought, because I kind of didn't see the time pass, I guess. And then when we went to the studio, Luca and I were recording, I think we were recording Roses at the time, and we were closing up, and I said, okay, can we just get this song out? Because I really just want to like get it recorded so I don't have to sing it again, because it really did hurt me when I wrote it, you know? And I knew that until we have a demo of it, I was going to keep playing it and kind of like torturing myself, because apparently I'm a musical masochist. But so we ended up, I showed Luca, he was like, wow, I really like that song, let's record it. So we did a couple of takes, and this is when the kind of frustration of recording a song hits. And I don't know, I guess maybe I was a little too emotionally invested, but I couldn't play the guitar part and sing it at the same time. Like, I kept losing the count. I kept like tripping over the lyrics and just wasn't working. And it was like kind of upsetting because, you know, it's your own song. You want to be able to play your own song. So Luca, thank God that he's like my left-hand man, because I've known him since I was like maybe 13, like 12 or 13, because we went to the same high school. And he was like, okay, you know what? Let me play the guitar part and then you could sing over that. And I'm a really big stickler for like everything has to be like real and authentic. And if we're doing acoustic, then it has to be at the same time. And so I was like, no, I don't want to sing over a recording of a guitar. And he was like, okay, fine, I'll play it while you sing it. And I was like, okay, fine, that works a lot better. That's a little more natural. So I think we did maybe like 3 takes. Things fit really naturally when Luca started playing. And we just wrapped it up that day. And he was like, all right, little tightening effects here, tightening effects there. Like, and not to say he like altered my voice or anything, but it's just, you know, the magic of production.
Of course.
Yeah. And yeah. And then I think it was like maybe a week later I had put it out, which at the time I was kind of giving advice to other artists on how to release music properly and how to, you know, have a plan in place. And when you release it, who to hit up, what radio stations, what blogs, and how you should like keep the momentum going. And I did not listen to a word of that when I put out No Matter. I was just like, fuck it, it's going up. And yeah, it was really bad. Like, I honestly thought I was gonna take it down. And then we were playing a show in Ottawa with my friend Honora, and I looked at the stats at like midnight. We were in our Airbnb. And I kid you not, I never forget this moment. It's so weird. I feel like people always say that. They're always like, I remember it to a T. And I was like, yeah, yeah, no, you don't. But I actually like remember it exactly the way it was. And like now when people say that, I'm like, okay, yes, I understand. But anyways, yeah, so I remember I had looked at my phone and I was just checking like the stats of our songs and what was going on. And No Matter was at 987 streams in like 12 hours. And I was like, that's impossible. My phone is glitching. I like restarted it, closed the app, opened the app, checked on my laptop. And I was like, what the, how is this happening? And I woke up Massimo, who used to be the drummer at the time. I woke up Chase, who used to be my guitarist at the time. It was like 2 a.m. I don't even know. And I like woke them up shaking them and like trying to whisper, yell like, guys, we're almost at 1,000. And they're like, what? No, we're not. And I was like, yeah, I'm like throwing a flashing phone in their face. And, you know, I kind of realized afterwards that it was on different editorial playlists. And I don't know, there was some sort of editor that was, that heard it when we had submitted it and just put it everywhere and hasn't taken it down since. And that was like 2 years ago. Like, that's amazing. Insane. It's crazy. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know.
and I mean, like, that must have been really validating for you as well, because you mentioned you're making music, you're putting stuff out, you're planning the process, which, by the way, I want to talk about because I like that. So, like, how validating is it to have something that sticks and hits that quickly?
Oh, my God. I honestly can't even explain it because I studied music business before I actually went into music. So I kind of had a good understanding of the behind the scenes part and the not being an artist part of things. And when I had released Out of Love, I kind of had this thing in my head of like, okay, this is going to take like, you know, 3 to 5 years to build. And before like big things happen, it's going to take a few years because I have friends who are in bands. I've worked with bands and it takes a while for things to pick up unless some sort of freak shit thing happens like this, and which is, it's amazing. It's awesome, but it was totally unexpected. So yeah, that sense of validation is insane because, you know, I grew up with a lot of insecurities, which is why it took me so long to actually start doing music. And finally gain that confidence to be like, yeah, I'm going to put out my music and just like be happy with it. I'm going to do it for me. And because this is what I want to do and not care about judgment. So to get that so early was such a big confirmation from like from the world and from the universe that this is my purpose. This is what I'm supposed to be doing, because nothing else feels the way this does, honestly.
And I think that's why it's probably working out so well, and why you kind of brought that good luck into your life, is because it's your passion and you're chasing it. You're not just idly kind of going through it. You still had to put the song together. You still had to, mm-hmm. you know, go through that emotional roller coaster of putting, you know, or just putting the lyrics on paper and then having to play it out. So I think in a big way, you brought it into your life. You kind of talked about the universe, and I thought it was cool.
Yeah, I'm kind of a little spiritual freak. But yep, not in the annoying way.
That's
in
okay.
The fun way.
Absolutely, absolutely. So, what excites you now? Like, what's? I know you have stuff coming out, and like, what's?
Yeah.
You talked about planning, so I got to ask, like, what's the future? Like, what's the next year, 2 years, 3 years look like? Have you gotten that far in your planning process?
Yeah.
Okay, tell us about it.
It's so funny that you bring that up, because if it's like, it's so funny because if it's anything outside of music, I'm a horrible planner. I don't organize. I can't plan. I'm impulsive. I do things because I feel like it and just decide to. Like, honestly, you think, ask my mom, okay? Like, this is facts. But when it comes to music, I've become so meticulous and so purposeful with everything that I'm doing because it's so important to me. So the next 2 to 3 years, first of all, I'm hoping that we're out of a pandemic, mm-hmm. because yeah. I felt Amen. Like at the beginning, right? Like, are you guys, I don't want to say I'm losing hope, but I felt like at the beginning, I was like, yeah, we'll get through this. And now I'm like, I don't know when it's going
to
end.
Yeah, I'm just fed up. I just want things to go back to normal. You know, I just want to go to the grocery store and not have to wear a mask. Totally understand it.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. The light at the tunnel is getting a little dark for me. Not going to lie. You know,
I was so hopeful, like the beginning of this, even like just 2 weeks ago, you know, before the kids came back into school, I was like, oh, everything's going to go fine. There's going to be no cases. School is going to go really smoothly. And then the kids came in and I was like, nope, no.
This is
not okay anymore.
Honestly, my sister's in the schooling system, and my condolences to you guys. Like, it's a lot of work. Seriously, I tip my hat off to every educator right now. It doesn't make sense.
Amen.
This is about you. This is about you.
Yeah. Well, what I was going to say is, like, assuming this pandemic does end, I mean, what's the plan?
So assuming that it does end, I'll happily release the EP that I was talking about, the debut EP that Runaway is attached to. And I'm still going to release it anyway, so I don't know why I'm saying that. But we're going to release that next month. And, you know, hopefully start like a series of concerts and leave Montreal a little bit, do some shows, you know, across North America. I'd love to go to the States and do some stuff, and work with some people out in Toronto, and, you know, really just solidify this whole idea that is Chintzy and the Eclipse, and this whole idea of like running free and doing what you want, free of judgment, and like, I don't know, just writing all my emotions down without caring. But yeah, hopefully touring. That's essentially what I'd want to be doing. Like, touring 8 months out of the year. Put me on tour for 2 years, I'll be happy.
Yeah, there you go. I can't even, have you done any tours yet? Have you done anything kind of like, I know you mentioned going to Ottawa.
Yeah. The summer before, we did a small little tour across Ottawa and stuff. So we went to, I'm blanking out on everything right now, but we went to like Hamilton, Kingston, Toronto, obviously. It was really small. It was like maybe 3 months. And it was the first time that we played outside of Quebec. So that was exciting. And, you know, we were kind of really excited to continue that this summer and go even bigger, you know, and head to Vancouver and go across the country, do some shows in the States, maybe even go to like LA and New York. But alas, COVID had other plans.
Unfortunately.
So Chintzy, you know, you're mentioning your group and, you know, your band, and you're going on tour, or hopefully, right? That's the plan. Take us through, who is Chintzy and the Eclipse? Talk about your sound. Who's a part of the band? Introduce them. Let's hype you guys up a little bit. Let's get people intrigued on what they want to listen to.
So the band is definitely in a little bit of a hiatus because of COVID and stuff. We were going to start with a new kind of refurbished live band this summer for sure with like some really talented people that I don't want to say because I don't want to jinx it, because the plans are still there, but because of COVID we haven't had a chance to all get together. But yeah, essentially I put the eclipse there to really solidify the fact that it's not just me, because you know, a lot of people have asked me like, why don't you just say Chinsir, like why don't you just consider yourself a solo artist, because essentially I am, but at the end of the day these songs would be nothing without, you know, Luca producing the stuff, without the mixer mixing everything, without the videographers getting involved, and without the live band really bringing it to life. So right now, I do not want to mention who's in the live band. Because I'm not going to jinx shit. But Tim Bednarchuk, Tim is a great guitarist and pianist who's been with me throughout all of COVID and a little bit before that. Like, I think since February, we've been playing together. And he's like a multi-instrumentalist, super talented. And yeah, he's kind of like one of the more permanent members in the live band. And yeah, that's where we're at right now. I just want to play live. That's seriously all I want to do.
How much more do you prefer playing live than recorded in the studio?
So the thing is, I always thought that I preferred playing live. Like, I was dead set on saying like, no, live is better. Recording, I do it because like we kind of have to, but like I just want to be on tour, which I mean is still true, but there's this, it's just different. Like, I've kind of realized recording all these songs that when you're in the studio recording, you have this kind of moment that's completely to yourself and only those few people that are in the studio to really like latch on to every single word of this song and really get everything I was feeling from the day that I wrote it. Because back to like the whole process of songwriting, I could write a song like today and we'll only bring it to studio next year. You know, so you need to have to, you need to like bring up those emotions again. And that's really fucking hard when they're really personal songs, you know? So there's this certain admiration that I have when we're in the studio now that lets me get into that place again. And, you know, working with different producers really excites me now because I realize that they can take this song to like levels that I've never even heard of or never thought of. Or they can, I'm so bad at explaining songs in the studio. I'll be like, yeah, at that part, can we have like a bum, bum, pa-cha-cha? And like, I don't understand. The guys that have been in studio with, they're like, yeah, for sure. And they make it sound exactly how I want it, even though it sounded nothing like what I did. And they just know, they just get it, which again is something that's so important. I find when it comes to music, like everything is so personal for me that even the producers, like I said, I work with Luca a lot, and he just gets me as a person. So that's really important when it comes to bringing these songs to life. So I love being in the studio. I really, really do now. But, you know, there's absolutely nothing like being in front of like hundreds of people or even like a crowd of 50 who are just enjoying you. Like, it's insane. It doesn't make any sense. It's completely surreal and completely unnatural, to be honest. Like, I remember when we first started playing, I would get so depressed for the next 2 days after a live show. Like, I would not want to get out of bed because that amount of love and amount of energy that's being sent towards you from like a whole mass of people is not normal. That's not normal life, you know? There's no one clapping for you to get out of bed. It's a lot of energy. Yeah, exactly. So I started doing this thing that, you know, I would hope all artists would do. But after a show, instead of like saying hi and like cleaning up and everything, I trust the guys and like my bandmates to clean up the stage and everything. Because at the end of the day, I really just have like a mic and a guitar. So I'll take that mic and guitar, go downstairs to the green room and pull out a pen and a paper straight away and write down like 3 to 5 things that I was grateful for on that show, you know, be like, oh, the applause here, the person screamed this, then the, like, Tim did a cool thing with the guitar this moment, just so that the next couple of days when I'm super low because people aren't cheering for me to make myself a coffee in the morning, I can look at that list and be like, okay, cool. Like, people still love me. Just because there's no one clapping doesn't mean no one loves me. But yeah, it's tough. It's completely surreal. So I think that's why I'd want to be on tour for like years and years. I just don't want that adrenaline to ever stop.
Definitely adrenaline and just like fan interaction is something that you don't get in the studio. But as somebody who wants to promote authenticity, do you feel mm-hmm. that performing the same song live over different shows kind of reduces how you like reduces the authenticity of a song? Like, you know, like you said, like mm-hmm. I'm only bringing it to the studio weeks from now. What about when you're performing it a year from now? Do you feel like authenticity kind of goes away the more you perform it?
That's such a good question. No.
Yeah, he's known for that.
I want to get coffee with him. Like, ask me all like the big questions of life. Jesus. Honestly, I don't think so, because like you said, you have that whole crowd in front of you, right? And you have people who are connecting with the songs from the first little lyric, or they're listening so intently and so closely that it's such a weird thing to explain, because I feel like because people are so attentive, my mind just goes into like this weird place of like, okay, I have to give these people everything I can, to the point where like No Matter has broke me on stage. And I wrote that song maybe 3 years ago now. And okay, like it's no lie that that's clearly about someone. I said I write personally. And you know, I'm very much over that person. But when I write that song, oh my God, I'm that girl back in that place, like crying over a wine bottle, over like a broken heart, you know? So there's just something weird about live shows that brings me back to every single song. And it's so funny because I was talking to Tim, my guitarist/pianist, about this. And I was saying how I didn't want to practice No Matter. And I was like, no, like, we know the song, we're good at it, whatever. I don't want to practice it. And he's like, well, why not? And I'm like, well, because I get emotional every time I sing it. Like, I just can't help it. And it's not something that I can kind of switch on or switch off. It's just, I don't know, man. It's weird. It's just the power of music. Which sounds so obnoxious for me to say, because I'm saying my own song has that effect on me. But I just know how like truthful those words are, you know?
Oh, that it was real for you.
It's and like even seeing the fans' reactions, right? So you know that it's authentic to them because they're identifying with the song. So
yeah.
Even if you kind of slip over time and it kind of means less and less, the fact that you're seeing them react to a song you made and have those same feelings, you kind of are sucked right back into
those feelings. It's crazy. I remember when we were playing Vitrola before it closed down, RIP. So sad. But we were playing Vitrola and I was playing No Matter, and it was so weird. I thought the like the reverb of the monitors on the stage were like out of whack or something, because I heard people singing the lyrics, but I didn't know it was people. Oh my God, it was crazy. I started to cry like a baby. And it was so funny because I really thought the reverb was like out of whack or something, because I'm like, oh, that's so weird. I hear it, but there's no like kind of echo thing going on that reverb does. And I kind of like opened my eyes and looked to my right, and there were three girls just swaying and like singing the lyrics. And I was like, oh my God, they know the lyrics to my song. Like
how flattering is that? I mean, that must be so awesome. I can't even imagine what that's like.
Oh my God, it's crazy. It's like the ultimate compliment. Like, I don't know. I keep saying I don't know, but it's just because I don't know how to describe it. It's, I don't know. When people like latch on to those lyrics, because you know, when I was growing up, or I'm still growing up, but when I listen to music, I'll listen to like Damien Rice or Bon Iver or Julia Michaels, and I'll like dive deep into those lyrics and really connect with them and be like, wow, she said this, or he said he wrote this line, oh my God, I wonder what he was feeling. And I like really dissect them. So to me, I'm not saying that people who have listened to my song have done this, but to me, that's kind of like how I relate it. I'm like, wow, they're connecting the way I connect to other people's music. And it's just wild to be on the other side of it.
And you mentioned Julia Michaels. And actually, I was listening to If the World Was Ending with her and James Sachs. Beautiful song. And
what a good song. Should we cover it? Should we do it?
Definitely, definitely. That's totally in your range. Totally you guys. But
I meant we, like, you guys, like us three.
You are the professional, not me.
Oof, I can do a lot of things, but singing and instruments are not my thing, unfortunately. But I'd be glad to hear you sing it at the end of this, no doubt.
Aw, geez.
But,
thanks,
you know,
guys.
And I was just reading, like, they met for the first time when they were recording that song, and it was written really, really quickly. And you guys have a very similar sound, very similar way of creating songs, just based on your stories. Julia Michaels and, you know, Florence and the Machine, are these some of your inspirations? Who were your inspirations, you know, to come up with your sound?
Yeah, definitely Julia Michaels and definitely Florence and the Machine. I think Florence and the Machine, Julia Michaels, and Janis Joplin are like my top three inspirations in life, just because Janis Joplin was like the first raspy voice that I ever heard when I was the OG. Listen, that woman. I wish drugs didn't get to her, man. Like, I just need her to be alive so I can be like, what's up? Tell me things about music.
But the voice.
You know,
voice.
Like,
it's like the drugs.
The voice.
The voice, you know?
you think? Maybe. You know what's funny? You know what's funny? I stay away from drugs because they ruin my voice.
There you go.
So.
Aha. Uh-huh. Myth, right? Busted.
There you go. It's so funny because people always think they're like, well, actually, when I was growing up, people were like, you know, you should stop smoking. And I'm like, I don't. It's just my voice. Like, that's just what it is. And, you know, because there's like that natural rasp, if I smoke or like smoke weed or whatever, it'll just make it raspier and make me just lose my voice, which is horrible. So I don't. But yeah, she really, Janis Joplin was like the first female musician to really take me out of that like deep hole of insecurity that I was in, you know, because kids can be really mean, and when you have like a raspy voice at like 12, 13, it's hard for people, I guess it's hard for other people to not make fun of, but you know, it's
people could just be better people.
People could be better people. You're right. You're very right. But it's hard, you know, when especially you're growing up with like these beautiful light female singers, like who was there at the time? There was like Taylor Swift and JoJo and, you know, all these incredible women who just had these really nice high voices. And I didn't have that. And so to hear Janis Joplin was like, okay, I'm not the first one to sound like this, you know? And now when I think about it, it's crazy to think that, because there's Aretha Franklin, there's Etta James, there's Billie Holiday, like all these incredible women that had that little
Cindy
intense
Lauper.
Soulful Cindy. Oh my God, Cindy Lauper, like Blondie, yeah. You know what I mean? All these women, they had like this unique sound to them, which is amazing. And now I'm super grateful for it. But like growing up, dude, my name and my voice growing up was the thing I hated the most. Because I'm like, oh, it's so weird. And like people, it's not like other people. And now I'm like, yeah, bitch, it's not like other people. Like,
yeah, yeah. You grow into your skin. Yeah, you come into your own eventually. But that's hard. Like when you're young and you know, being targeted and stuff, I always feel terrible. I always feel terrible. It's funny because you're not the first person to bring that up on the show. But I don't want to take you away.
Yeah, no, of course. Yeah, no. What were we talking about?
Inspirations.
Oh,
yeah, inspirations. Yeah, and Julia Michaels. That's kind of also the same thing, you know, it was fun to see someone who was a little more like me. And I came across Julia Michaels when I was older, right? I was maybe like in my, yeah, exactly. Like seriously, maybe like young adult kind of era of life. And she was like a songwriter for everyone else first, right? Mm-hmm. Like everyone in the pop scene. And I wanted to be a songwriter before I wanted to be an artist because I mean, again, the ongoing theme of insecurities. And I'm like, well, I don't want to be on stage. I don't want to be in front of people, you know? So I was like, I'm going to songwrite. I'm going to be like Julia Michaels and like write these pop songs. Cause you know, I still listen to a lot of like pop rock and indie rock and like Brit pop. That's what I kind of grew up on, you know, like Arctic Monkeys, Keane, freaking the Kooks, you know, and I still love them with all my heart. But my songwriting was swaying to this more pop side of things. And I saw Julia Michaels and I'm like, okay, she's really cool. And she's writing all these pop songs for everyone else. And you know what? She doesn't look like everyone else. So that's really exciting to me. And, you know, again, I latched onto her words. That's what gets me. Cause I mean, I'll always consider myself a songwriter before I'm a musician or an artist. So if you have like these heartfelt lyrics that just fit perfectly within the melody, like that freaks me out how some artists can do that. And Julian Michaels just happens to be one of them, you know? And I say Florence and the Machine, she's just so, she's weird and I love it. It makes no, have you seen them live?
I have never, no. But I know it's an experience. Friends have told me it's a great experience.
Yeah, we're all going to a Florence and the Machine concert when this pandemic is over. It's going to be a learning experience for everyone.
I am in. But
yeah, it'll be fun. It'll be fun. We just need to figure out when that concert is. Mm-hmm. But yeah, she's another artist that just, she's introduced so many weird and eccentric sounds to what, like, she puts out and like the whole band has put out that it drew me in again. Like the second an artist is like a little weird, but still like they're weird, but they still fall into that. Like, I don't want to say trendy, but more like pop thing. It intrigues me right away. Cause I'm like, you're different, but you're still familiar. And that's really cool to me. And,
not easy,
you know, it just, no, not at all. And I think Florence the Machine was kind of like an inspiration for me that I didn't even realize was an inspiration until other people were like, oh, you sound like Florence the Machine. I was like, oh damn, like I guess you're right. Yeah, because it never really clicked. And that just shows how much like the inspiration was like, what's the word I'm looking for? It was just like it was underlying. Yeah. It just kind of happened. Like I didn't try to go there, but I guess listening to it so much, my brain just kind of went there when I was writing melodies or, yeah. Yeah, all very powerful women that I want to write with, except for Janis Joplin, because, you know, kind of impossible.
Yeah, unfortunately. I mean, so Chinzi, I think that a lot of people are going to benefit from hearing this podcast. You are super authentic. And that was really, really cool. Like that's the thing. And I find myself saying this almost every episode is when we bring someone on, we never know how the conversation is going to go. And this one was really, really authentic and really, really great. What we like to do at this segment here, Mike usually introduces it, is basically we want to give you some time to talk about yourself, promote the hell out of yourself, tell people where they can find you. Yeah, this is your time.
I feel so on the spot. well, like I said, we have a new song coming out on September 25th in 5 days from now, right? 5 days?
Yeah.
Sweet. Friday. So, we have a new song, Runaway, coming out on September 25th. I'm super excited to kind of show a different side of me that's a little more exciting, a little more of a renegade heart. And that's going to be the first single off of my first EP coming out in October. And we have a little bit of a surprise coming out after that. A kind of, I don't want to give too much away, but live shows are in the works.
Nice. Good news.
Yeah, I'm excited. It's not as live and in person as I would like it to be, but there's a nice little plan coming that people need to keep up with us to know about. And they can find me on Instagram or Facebook at Cinzia and the Eclipse, Cinzia and the Eclipse. There is no H. The amount of times that people have been like, I can't find it, and there's an H, I'm like, nope.
That's why.
Yeah. So and I mean, it's the same thing. Follow us on Spotify, Apple Music. That's where all the music is going to be out first. And I didn't even mention this, but Runaway is coming out with a music video as well. So we're going to premiere the music video the same day of the release and get people excited.
Wow, that's a lot of stuff to be happy about. And you should be so proud of everything you've done, you know, in these past
years.
We usually end our show with one final question that I think is probably the most difficult. If you could sum up these past 3 years, this process, this everything you've gone through, if you can condense it into one message that you want to share to people, what would it be?
I think the one thing that I can sum up this whole musical journey is that it's been honest. It's been truthful. It's never been a facade or a character. And that, you know, sometimes things work, sometimes things don't. And I think the important part is to just, you know, keep going and not give up and, you know, just be real with yourself and what your goals are and kind of not have the outside world take that away from you. Sorry, I can't, when I get super real and emotional, I can't help but like make a stupid joke or do something. I'm really bad with emotions if it's not in a song, guys.
Okay, that was perfect. That was a perfect way to end it. The more you know, we should just put like the little
energy. Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what I pictured. The more you know. No, but yeah, honestly, I really do mean that, you know, to just not give up and do what feels right to you, no matter what, no matter what the outside world kind of tells you is wrong or right.
That's perfect. Well, we want to thank you so much for being with us today in this podcast. You have so much wisdom in, you know, these little, you know, these few years that you've, I mean, you only gain it through actually trying and failing, like you said, and, you know, not giving up. So, you know, be proud of everything you've gone through and done. It was a pleasure having you on. And I'm sure I can speak for Frankie as well. Like, thank you so
you
much.
May.
Yeah, like it was, you know, anything more we couldn't even ask for. So you've been an excellent host.
Oh, wow.
Well, that was amazing. That was fantastic. And we're going to tag all of that stuff in there, Cinzia. Thank you so much for being on the show with us. Mike, anything else to say before we sign this out?
I mean, what else could I say that I didn't say to Cinzia herself? She is absolutely incredible. She, you know, is a star in the making. She's definitely a star right now. So
y'all are making me blush again.
And it's been a true joy to sit down with her.
Well, thanks so much, guys.
And for everybody at home, thank you so much for joining us. And we'll see you on the next episode of Keeping It Frank.